B-Pod Studios.
The Terminal List. New series, July 1st on Prime Video.
Thank you to our sponsor, Audible.
Take Audible along this summer and listen to best-selling audiobooks, exclusive originals, and podcasts. Start with a free 30-day trial at audible.com.
Boston. This is Boston's most listened to sports station. Boston's home for sports. Sports Hub. Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
The Toronto Blue Jays ended the Red Sox winning streak at 7 last night, care of a 7-2 win at Rogers Center. Alex Cora's offense was completely shut down by Kevin Gausman. Gausman allowed 4 hits and struck out 10 over 7 shutout innings for the win. And on the other side, Sox rookie Connor Siebold struggled in his second major league start. He allowed all 7 runs over 4 2/3 innings of work and allowed homers to George Springer, Matt Chapman, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. This 3-game series continues tonight. In NBA news, a stunner from Kyrie Irving, who's turned around and opted into the final year of his contract with Brooklyn. This is after the team told him he was free to find a sign-and-trade deal with another franchise and was reportedly unable to. The Houston Rockets' John Wall has opted into the final year of his deal, but the two sides are now working on a buyout, and ESPN reports he's planning on signing a contract with the Clippers once he clears waivers. The Bruins yesterday made it official, re-signing GM Don Sweeney to what's been termed a multi-year contract extension. Also, one day after the end of the NHL season, the team announced its 6-game preseason schedule for this September, which includes home and away games against Philadelphia, the Rangers, and New Jersey. And day 2 of Wimbledon is getting underway in London with more first-round play, including men's 2-seed Rafael Nadal. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by AdCare 1-800-ALCOHOL. Speak up, reach out, get help. Asking for help takes courage. Be recovery strong. Visit AdCare.com or call 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm John Wallach at Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 6:30.
After a long day, don't trust your sports to just anyone.
That's right, man.
Adam Jones. Nights on The Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Season 4, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have 4 recliners. He has 3.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
It's a very sad day for me. I'm a big Tom Brady fan. Tom Brady would not let the investigators go through his phone. Tom Brady's 4-ring legacy has been tainted. Tom Brady is guilty. Tom Brady is guilty. I'm a big Tom Brady fan. That's a bunch of baloney. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. I'm a big Tom Brady fan.
I know that was hard for you, how much you love your boy Tom Brady.
I do. Tom Brady is guilty. Tom Brady is guilty.
Sometimes this business isn't easy, man. You got to cover stuff like Tom Brady and Deflategate. Not easy. Very emotional.
I've always spent a lot of time thinking about Skip Bayless more than I should. I'm wondering how much of that is real and how much of that is him doing everything he can to get people to pay attention to him.
I think it is 100% the latter.
Okay.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program.
Good to see you, Fred.
Nice to see you, too. Town Fair Tire Studios, a bit of a MASH new unit around here. This time of year seems to bring...
You should look at the schedule.
I know.
I've seen it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I know. All right. So what happened is Rich, I guess, was supposed to go to his mother's in South Carolina. And at 4 in the morning, he texted that the flight was canceled. His flight for this afternoon was canceled. He could only get on an 8 o'clock flight. And I'm supposed to fly it on Saturday, and apparently they're just can't.
I'm supposed to fly tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you supposed to go to Hawaii?
Not tomorrow, no. I'm going to Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. Because, I mean, they're just canceling every flight.
What happens, though, I think, Fred, because I saw it on the news, is that the flights later in the day, perhaps that was what affected Rich and, you know, with my flight, is they can get some flights out early in the morning, but then when trouble starts, it just dominoes into the rest of the day. So any afternoon and early evening flights are the most likely to be canceled.
Jeez. So I don't understand, like, the lack of staffing. That doesn't, you've had, now COVID's, you know, for all intents and purposes, the travel is back.
People are back to traveling too, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Is that the travel's back, the money is there. If people wanted to work on the airlines 2 years ago, what has changed? What about working in the airline? If everything that you wanted from working at an airline is still there, is I would imagine if that you're a flight attendant, part of it is that you're the desire to travel and that you don't want to just sit around. You want to be able to go city to city, station to station. That is out there for you. I don't understand what happened.
More than going to an office, because a lot of offices aren't, like, let's just say that was your thing.
Right.
You know, you're an office worker as opposed to a flight attendant.
Yeah, so the appeal of it is still there. Mm. I don't know. I don't know how everything is so understaffed. I don't understand why people don't have to work. Things are more expensive now than they were 2 years ago.
I think.
Yeah, I don't get it. So he's gone.
Yes.
And Nick's gone.
Yes.
Because he had a weird, I don't know, shouldn't say much, but he had a whole weird thing happen yesterday when I wasn't here. So,
coddled together a MASH unit this morning.
It is a MASH unit, ladies and gentlemen, this morning. Because, but that's rough. So what time does Rich get up in the morning?
Well, he texted all of us at 4.
All right, so you figured that he was up at 3:45?
At least. He doesn't sleep. I mean, we've all worked with him. You've worked with him longer than everyone. He doesn't sleep.
He does not sleep.
He averages about 3 hours a night.
Because he does work, like, he writes out the what happened last night. Like, he has a script for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always encouraged him, why don't you, you know, sleep an extra 45 minutes and just improvise what happened last night with the audio sheet that they give you. But he doesn't hear that. He wants to get up in the morning. And
everyone
good for him,
has their own way of doing things.
He's a very hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
And so there you go. That is what's happening here. And did they move the cliff? Yes, they moved the cliffhanger for me.
Yes, one more peg.
Zo couldn't get in here fast enough for that.
Even now, again, we were talking about this at the end of the show yesterday when Zolak came in and moved it. I said, yeah, and you heard me say this on the air, that yesterday doesn't count. You're on the air. This was invented for people who take bogus days off. Like, Zolak, this has happened multiple times since we've all been working together. Zolak will be sick on a Friday.
Yeah, and
or he'll take a day off Thursday when the team travels on Friday to go somewhere.
So this is Zolak. So what, I kind of get it, why Zolak, because this is the one thing that would piss Zolak off. If you don't know, The Price is Right has a cliffhanger thing. And every time, you know, yodelay, and then you move it up. So we had a listener make like a really nice Zolak cliffhanger. Now, you can say anything about Zolak, and they've been said, like, you know, he wears sunglasses indoors, da-da-da-da-da. He's gotten in trouble for stuff before we all have. But this one is, like, the worst thing for him. Because, and I actually kind of wish we didn't do it. Because
why?
Because the why? Man, because everyone deserves to take, like, a bogus sick day every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Zolak would have taken some by now, but that effing cliffhanger, he looks at it and he goes, they're going to call me on it. But in fairness, the only reason that it was made was because he was busting my balls so much and so interested in what I was doing.
Well, it was made. The show made a joke of it and we went on for a while, and then a listener took it to the nth degree. If this had not been made, I'm pointing to the Zolak cliffhanger in the studio. If this had not been made, I don't think any of this would be a problem. Zolak's good with ball busting, but to actually, you know, back and forth verbally, but to actually see this very elaborate thing parked in front of him when he comes to work every day, I think you're right. It pissed him off.
And I know why Zolak gets pissed off when I work from home, because he wants to work from home.
Okay.
And
yes.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Okay.
But that would require him spending all of that money for a kit, which he will not do.
All right, so
he would rather go to Gillette Stadium, which he has done in the past. He has gone to Gillette Stadium. Oh, I got to interview Belichick. Okay, you know, fine. You use the studio. It's 5 minutes from your house.
So good for you. What's funny about it is that when we signed our new contract 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, Rich had put it in, hey, it would be nice if we could broadcast a week from, like, he wanted to do it from Nantucket. I guess I could do it from my parents' house. I don't know how this whole week, I don't even know what the week now, because I've done it so many times because of COVID and everything else. And what's great about it is if there's a conflict where my wife might be out and the kids are home. Like, my son had a sleepover yesterday, and I mean, do you leave the house at 5 o'clock in the morning? And, like, I don't know what the kid's parents would think. So, just, hey, I got all this crap. I'll just broadcast from home. It's nice. But when Rich said, hey, I want to do this thing where I broadcast from Nantucket, I said, oh, cool. What does that require? So, it requires spending, you know, a few $1,000s on this unit that you plug into the internet, and then it allows you to do that. Now, then people were like, well, you're breathing into the mic, you know, you're breathing into the mic. So that required me to buy like $1,000 mic. So I have it's not elaborate in how many pieces it is, but a fairly
extravagant,
expensive,
technologically advanced.
And I think you might as you do as well, Dan, is at home. I have a technologically advanced setup at my house. Mm-hmm. So I know that Scott looks at that and gets pissed and gets a little jealous. So the problem with the Zolak cliffhangers, you're right, is that he wants so badly just to take sick day. You know, you get him, you should be able to take him. So Zolak could do one of two things, and he's chosen the latter. The first one could be he would be like, yep, I'm climbing that ladder, and whatever, I'll be at the top of that ladder, or that effing ladder.
It's option B.
Yeah, I know. And you know, you just got to be, like, at this point, with the moving of the studios and everything.
Honestly, but, everything is in such a tailspin these days. People are just swapping out. They can barely cover shifts here. I mean, the shows are still good, but behind the scenes, there's a big, like, merry-go-round that's happening to make sure every show is covered. It doesn't matter at this point.
So
just take the day.
So that's the thing with me, is I used to get irritated when Scott would come in and get, like, pissed off and, like, do all that. And for about the last month, I just don't care. You can do it. You say whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone can say whatever they want.
We're at
care.
A point now in the summer, and it happens at every radio station across this great land. You take vacation days. It's summertime. All of us have worked hard all year long to get to this point to earn these days off. So take them. Don't worry about it.
But also,
this big
John,
thing.
It's also we're in this state of flux. If you are look out into the.
Yes.
What used to be the bullpen or the sales area.
I brought a couple of gloves. You want to go play catch?
The building's completely empty.
Yes.
So we're in
empty
this
of
state
furniture
of,
as well as
we're,
people.
We're in this state of flux.
Yes.
Which I'll come in. Whatever. I have next week off, but I'll come in.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, they wanted all the salespeople out. They wanted all, like, the promotions people out. They want all the people out. Why wouldn't they want us out? Like, wouldn't you just want everyone out of here? So we're not in their way. If there's a technical issue, they don't have to deal with us. So my feeling would be, I want everyone out of here. Just get the hell out of here.
And believe it or not, we're first. There's four other stations here that are going to be after us. I think, you know, not that we're getting precedent, but ours is more of an elaborate move.
Right, because the Patriots.
Yeah, so if we're out of here, there's probably three or four other stations worth of few people that are going to be still here. But Mike makes a great point. Mike makes a point. He goes, what if that cliffhanger just didn't make the move?
Oh, yeah. Got lost in transition. Yeah.
Got lost in translation from here to Waltham.
Unless we bring it, it's gone.
Yes.
Yes. I would agree.
Unless we bring it, it's gone. But there is a part of me where I'm like, all right, let Scott have a sick day. If it's nice outside, let Scott enjoy himself.
Mm-hmm. He's rolling over right now saying, I love you, Fred. Love you.
Yeah, well, if he's up.
I was just going to say, you think he's awake at this point?
Yep. Huh?
But because to me, I just don't care anymore. Just raise it all the way. It really used to irritate me when he would come in, and now it doesn't. I don't care.
Now you like it.
You broadcast for one, Fred? Yep.
Yep. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep, I sure am. There you go.
Well, you're here today.
Yeah, here I mean,
you are.
I'm here today.
In the flesh,
my
right
wife
there.
And kids are both home, so I mean, there's nothing for I can come in. Come in, and now hopefully on the way home today, I don't run into anything that makes my hand freeze.
Yes.
But seize up, but I've been given medication in case that happens.
Any problems since? Everything okay?
No, not everything is okay, but no, no, I haven't had that problem.
The hand is fine.
The hand is fine.
That's... was my question.
I haven't been in a situation like that. That was intolerable. It would be rare that I would be in a situation like that again. That was intolerable.
I've told you before, and I don't know if you're going to take my advice, but you are here today, and you are facing that trip home. Are you going to take my advice and take the stress-free route home?
Okay, I will tell you. So your suggestion is to take the highway home.
Yes, to get on the Mass Pike. You live in Newton. It's a longer way around, but also easier.
On Friday, I took a Uber. He took that way.
Yep.
It's a good 10 minutes longer.
But?
Than if... than a normal day home.
I understand that, but it's consistent. Yes, much more predictable. You know you're going to get a free ride going flat out on the Pike West. It is 10 minutes longer. I knew it's going to be longer, but you know how long it's going to take every time. Going the way you go, deking and diving through neighborhoods and traffic lights and, you know, possibility of...
But you have to understand, the hand freezing up day had never happened before. It had never taken me in such a crazy... It never taken me into a building.
I know that, but it's the summer. There's construction all over the place in the city. Because of that, wouldn't it be easier just to do it this way and not worry about anything?
Yes, but I'm a creature of habit. We'll see.
Okay.
If it happens again, then I'll take the freeway every
day.
But I'll just be on the freeway going, 10 minutes.
Because there's a hurry to get home at 11 in the morning.
Yeah. I want to get home.
Okay.
I want to go to bed.
All right.
I want to eat.
All right.
I want to eat and go to bed. Okay. Yeah. That's all I want.
Got it.
Now, Waltham... Now you're talking about now Waltham. I can go any which way but loose. Waltham, if I look out 95, is no good. That's a straight. I can get a straight shot home from there anyway. I can go any way I want to Waltham. I know my way there, like the back of my hand. So I mean, Waltham, I'm in Newton in 1 mile, no matter which way I go.
Mm-hmm.
Pass by the club on the way home. Maybe stop and hit some balls on the way home.
So give the equipment to Zoe.
You shouldn't need to broadcast from home ever again.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give him $4,000 of equipment.
That's a good point.
I'll get it right back.
Lickety split. Yep.
No, that equipment is the best stuff I've ever bought. That was the best investment I ever made.
Well, in all honesty, you have to admit the company probably prior to that said, no, we were opening up a huge can of worms. People didn't broadcast from home before 5 years ago. It just wasn't the norm, even though...
But you know who set the precedent was Felger.
Yeah.
Because Rich heard that Felger was doing it from Nantucket.
Places beyond here. Yeah, he would do wherever. And they had the TV camera set up so they could be on TV.
Because Felger is on the road, is broadcasting remotely a lot. But, yeah, I mean, this has opened up a possibility. I mean, it's opened up... It's made the decision easier. Like my wife has a job that she's relatively new at, and you know, all things being equal, if I had to come in, I would be the one who came in. But if you got the equipment, you use the equipment. Now, what can I say? All right, we'll catch up with everything that happened last night, including Kyrie Irving. Just keep, I mean, I don't feel bad for the guy. He's making a lot of money, but he just keeps making mistakes and saying weird crap.
Many labels, and he posted some, just posted something else. So this is,
oh, he did?
Yeah.
All right.
It's it's really something.
Yeah, he is something else. So he continues to shoot himself in the foot, self-sabotage. He feels that he is, he feels like he's going to go down in history as some like great
freedom fighter.
Freedom fighter,
right.
Which I don't quite get.
And everyone understands that's not the case but him. It's a fascinating character study.
Yes, it really is. So he's fighting for basketball players to get less money?
Well, he's very principled, and yet he took $36 million. So
yeah, I know. Like, I'm not crying for the guy, but it's like...
We can get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it in a moment. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're waking up. Boston sports fans.
Describing our show to anybody is strange.
I mean, this is
nonsense.
What makes a show like this tick, tick, tick?
Torture and Rich.
Oh, God, they're so dumb.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Torture and Rich.
Toucher and Rich, and Kyrie Irving is very good at basketball, but he is a brave man who chose not to play very much last season. He is a guy who continues to say things that I don't quite know what he means, but perhaps it's way over my head. Shams yesterday reported that the Brooklyn Nets star Kyrie Irving is opting in to his $37 million player option for next season. Irving is bypassing on multiple opt-in and trade scenarios to fulfill his four-year commitment to the Nets and Kevin Durant. So what could have happened is there could have been he had a list of teams that he could do a sign-and-trade deal with. Apparently only the Lakers were interested.
And the Lakers wanted to send... The rumors were the Lakers wanted to send, because you have to match salaries, they wanted to send Russell Westbrook back. And correctly, Brooklyn said, we don't want Russell Westbrook. We saw him play last year. And yes, he might be available for more games, but he's not very good anymore.
And I had said several times that if I'm the owner of the Nets, the owner of any team, but the Nets owner especially is one of the richest people on the planet, that I would tell both these guys to screw. Well, Brian Windhorst was on ESPN, and he had this to say.
The Nets are putting out there right now that they are prepared to lose both Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. They would rather lose them both than go through what they went through last season, which was a miserable season under the situation that Kyrie Irving contributed to creating.
And that's exactly the right move. If I never get it with these owners. Like, who are you to make my life miserable? Like, you win. See, if you win a championship, now then we're talking. Then you can start asking for money and behaving these ways. Why would I allow you to behave this way when you've done nothing for me? In fact, you've just made my life miserable.
You remember Kyrie after the Celtics swept him out of the playoffs. We've mentioned this on the show, saying, you know what, I'm looking forward to me and Kevin and Sean Marks, the GM, and he called him by his first name, Joe, getting together and seeing what we can do next year. As if he was in charge and had a plan and was more than willing to put things together, when in reality he was at best a part-time player.
Right, and juxtapose that with any former or current Patriot, or they're like Mr. Kraft and this. Now, I wouldn't need the players to call me Mr., but I would certainly have them respect that I own the team and that I'm paying them tens of millions of dollars. So Kyrie makes this announcement, and then he says, he says this.
Kyrie, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask this question. So, you know, go ahead. Do you want to be a Brooklyn Nets still?
pass it to my left.
Lead the league in assists.
All right, no, but he did say this. He said, normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I've made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall. A11 even?
That's his Twitter handle.
Okay, A11 even.
Yes.
He wants people to follow him. Now, in his mind, he is doing something very brave by opting into this.
And making $36 million. I would think anyone who would dare to be different say, you know what, I'm going to opt out, and since I really want to go play with my buddy LeBron, I'll take the $6 million, you know, taxpayer mid-level exception and go play for them. Because it's a matter of principle. I don't want to play for Brooklyn anymore. I want to play here. I'm willing to take less money to do that. A truly principled person would do that. Because he's made more money than he can possibly spend in 11 lifetimes anyway. So why not do that? So, no, that's not what he's doing. It's about the money, which he insists it wasn't.
Does LeBron even want him to? They kind of ended poorly.
You saw what happened to the Lakers last season. It couldn't have been more of a disaster. They didn't make the playoffs, even though you have 10 teams now in each conference make it. They missed the play-in round. They were so bad. And LeBron was hurt a lot of the year.
I just want to know in his brain, and aside from this deal, which is ancillary because it is what it is, I want to know what in his mind he's doing that is so life-changing.
Exactly.
And by the way, way to endear yourself to the normal people keep the world going, but...
I'm going to make $37 million next year.
No, but I'm not... I don't want to keep the world going. How is Kai... My thing with him is always this, is that he like takes offense that there's ownership and management on teams. Like, he takes offense to that. And what does he want? And I'll tell you this, is that what he's done to himself financially is he's never going to own a team now. He financially is never going to have that opportunity. If he wanted to be in management, that's never going to happen. He self-sabotaged that whole thing. So what's the end game? Is that Kurt Flood? Kurt Flood, who got Major League free agency happening.
Late 60s.
Late 60s. I mean, he's not some, you know, labor giant. He's not going to play like in the World Football League or something. What exactly is Kyrie Irving in his mind, how is he changing the world?
This is incorrect. He's not doing it this way.
No, I understand.
But you asked how he sees it.
Yes.
I think he sees himself as a role model for younger players. That's how he sees himself, not what reality is. It's not even close to what reality
is.
But
what is he doing? So if he was to sit down and tell you, what is he doing to mentor younger players?
Oh, no. I don't think. I think he, in his mind, he's leading by example.
To take less money and to never...
No, that would be the way to do it, to take less money and say, look, if you're principled enough, don't go for the five-year, $250 million contract. You know, be yourself. And by being yourself, you would take the $6 million to play in L.A. But he's not doing that.
But wouldn't you want to be a LeBron and own a team?
Yes.
Or put yourself in a position where you were management and you were in charge?
LeBron is a perfect blueprint. You have to be incredibly talented and you have to make good, smart business decisions. But LeBron and Magic Johnson are the two guys who really showed how it should be done.
And doesn't Dwayne Wade have like a part of the...
Milwaukee.
I thought it was the Jazz.
Is it the Jazz or the... He's a part owner of an NBA team. It might be the Jazz.
I think it is the Jazz.
Might be the Jazz.
So these guys did it.
Yep.
So all you're doing is hurting yourself financially, so you're never going to be in that position, and you're never going to be in management.
Yeah, well, he put himself in charge of the Nets. He said it at the end of the year.
Yeah,
we're going to sit down, and we're going to make decisions.
And good for ownership, because if I was a billionaire that owned the team, I'd be like, you're not doing anything.
Yeah, I think they did.
No, they did. Yeah. And that's why I'm proud of the guy. I didn't say I thought it would happen. I just said if I was the owner, I'd at one point put my foot down.
Yeah.
There's guys that, like Giannis... If I'm the owner in Milwaukee, I'm going, all right, stay. Please stay. Here, what do you need? Please stay. And I'm acquiescing to him and doing all of that. But when I see what Kyrie Irving did, after I kissed his ass to get there, and then what? And you know, you with Durant and Kyrie, and I see that you got swept in the first round by a team that got put together through the draft. I'm not giving you any power or any money, and I'd be so pissed off when he referred to me as just one of the gang that was gonna, you know, one of the collective that was gonna make decisions. Like, shut up. I own the team. And then Kyrie's thing was, well, you don't own me. You don't own me. No, I don't own you. You're an employee I'm paying tens of millions of dollars to, who is free not to play for me. You can do whatever you want. Go ahead.
Think about the precedent this sets, because the NBA has been run by players for years. Think about Harden quit on two teams, and Philadelphia, he's crippled two franchises. Look at what happened in Houston. You know, look at what the tailspin Brooklyn is kind of in now. Philadelphia still traded for him. Think about other players like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Completely wrecked that team. What did Doc Rivers have to go through?
That's a great point, because he's not only sabotaged himself, he sabotaged the whole idea of players taking over the league. Because now you have an owner that stood up and said no.
And now
so Brooklyn, now other owners are going to stand up and say
right.
no.
And now Brooklyn has a chance to run it back, but on their own terms instead of Kyrie's terms.
Yes.
You don't want, you know what? Go find another team. Oh, you couldn't find another team? Okay, we'll pay you for one more year. And if Kyrie wants big money, he has to be a good soldier this year, which he has proven unable to do throughout his entire life.
I don't care what he does all season.
But Brooklyn is ready now to hit the reset button, even though there's no soft landing spot. So, you know, they're going to lose Kyrie, who they can't replace, and they'll probably next year, and they'll probably lose Durant after that. But they don't seem to care, and good for the Brooklyn Nets.
Not only has Kyrie sabotaged himself, he sabotaged apparently the whole idea of players, at least in this instance, running their teams and running
no
the league.
No owner has been willing to step up and say, F you, I don't care. My team's going to be lousy, but that's a better alternative than the one you're giving me.
Yeah.
No owner's done this. When was the last time an NBA owner even approached this?
That stood up to, I don't know.
So good for Joe Tsai, good for the Brooklyn Nets.
Boy, I mean, Kyrie can't stop shooting himself in the foot. And it's not, I mean, he's fine. I mean, he's making $36 million. That's enough. That 1 year of $36 million is enough for his life. I mean, you should be able to live off that for the rest of your life. So good for him.
You would think a normal person, after acting like an a-hole and got slapped in the face like this, would go, you know what? Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I went out there and no one bothered to put together a deal to sign and trade for me. I'm not worth the $250 million I thought I was worth. A normal person would, you know, spend some time alone and go, you know what? Maybe I need to change things a little bit.
Well, but what are, extraordinary.
What are the odds that actually happens? He's got a year to figure it out. What are the odds he actually changes next
year? What's interesting, too, is that if you read profiles on him and they talk to his friends don't know what he's talking about. They often don't know what the plan is and what he's talking about outside of basketball, what he's doing outside of basketball, except for sadly getting swindled by some relative that lives out on an Indian reservation.
He's living rich off those Uncle Drew royalties, too.
Isn't that funny? I always think about that. I always think about, like, he made a movie that was, like, rather successful.
Yeah.
Like, he did something outside of basketball that was rather successful.
Yeah, he had a shoe brand. Like, he had things going on for him, and then he's just completely ruining it.
Yeah, he was building, like, an entertainment empire thing happening, and then that's not happening anymore.
No.
I know he gives money to charity.
I'm sure he does.
Because people go, well, he gives money to charity. And that I would say, fine, but he's supposed to be this Guthrie-esque, you know, working man freedom fighter for players in the league, and it's just not working.
Uncle Drew grossed about $42 million total.
Yeah, and it probably cost about 15 to 20 to make.
Yeah, so, I would agree.
So it probably cost $20 million to make.
And most of that was probably playing the NBA, paying the NBA guys just to be in the movie.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a success. It's so hard to think that he did that and did press for it. He's been evolving into something very, very strange.
And remember when you guys sat down with him? He was like a good guy. He was open. He was talking to you guys.
He
and
was.
Things went really downhill after that.
It was really weird when Rich and I sat down with him at Celtics Media Day, what, 3-4 years ago? And he was totally cool about the Friends tattoo. He was able to laugh at himself. He was. You can see how you might get sucked in, put it that way.
Well, no, but at Duke, when he was hurt, people talk about him and they were like, he was incredible. He came to all the away games. Mm-hmm. He sat on the bench. He was essentially like an equipment manager. He was very little ego on the kid. And, you know, no one's asking a star to, you know, be like a towelboy and wave towels and be, you know, no one's asking him to be a tryhard. If you know me at all and my personality, I don't expect that from anybody. It's just, if you're going to pose as an intellectual, like, at least have some linear thought or some purpose to what you're doing instead of ruining it for everyone. Because essentially he's ruined it for the stars. Because now if I own the Clippers or if I own one of these other teams that perennially loses.
Brooklyn's never won a championship.
No.
The net franchise has never. No, I don't think. No, the net franchise has never won a championship.
Can you imagine if you're the owner of that team watching them get swept by the Celtics? And you're just like, are you kidding me? You're like Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. And I got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, by the way, Josiah's one of those owners that sits courtside. Yeah. I mean, he's very involved.
I mean, I would be furious. I would say you, not for paying them, because that's me and I paid them and they deserve that pay. But after all I paid them and all that crap all year, to see them get swept. And the Celtics are a good team, but imagine if you're the owner of the Nets and you're like, I got these two like all-time players and I'm getting swept.
Yeah, you thought you were a contender.
Yeah.
And then you got swept in four
games. I got swept by the Celtics.
And things were so bad you had to bring in Ben Simmons. Like, that's how bad that locker room was.
Yeah, and then I have Ben Simmons and he can't play.
Yeah.
So I got a collection of misfit toys that can't put it together. All right, when we come back, you thought the Red Sox were good and then last night they proved that they're just no good.
Well, it's one night, Fred. One night they pitched a rookie. No.
It's gonna start a pattern. No, I'm obviously being facetious, John. We'll be right back here. The headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And that's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we are Toucher and Rich. And bad news for the Red Sox. Bad, bad news. They go out last night, and it's a dinger fest for one Matt Chapman.
There's a swing and a long fly ball. Ooh. Deep left field. You can forget it. A majestic drive off the bat of Matt Chapman. Two-run home run.
Throw it back. Souvenir for the fans. Having sex in the hotel rooms with the windows open. They still play there, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Because that was the big thing when I was at CNNSI, is that we would get, they had a montage that the editors have made of, because when they go to commercial on your games, they don't go, we still have the satellite feed. So the video cameras would go all over the place and they would try to find, if there were hot girls in the crowd, you would find out immediately because they would zoom in on the hot girls. And then, of course, there was the famous people having sex there at the dome. Now, do you think that if you're having sex there that you're aware people can see you?
I think you're very aware of that, well, and I think you actually plan.
That has actually happened to me before, and we did not realize. Back in, like, 2005, we were at, like, the W in New York,
Huh.
And, you know, we're doing our thing and finished up and realized as we looked out the window, there was many people across the way watching us.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now what floor were you on?
Yeah, so it was pretty high up. Probably like the 30th floor.
Oh, wow. Wow. And now when you finished, were there applause or anything?
There was all, it looked like, like high school kids, just like a line of them watching.
Oh, man.
Really? Yeah.
And did they like quickly shut the blinds?
No, they didn't care. What do they care?
Wow.
We did. We were like, oh, okay, well, maybe we should shut the blinds. Even though we were done and, you know, finished up by that point, it didn't really matter.
Because you figure there is this sense of security. I'm 30 floors up.
Yeah.
You know, no one from the ground can see me.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't realize that there is a
whole... You're not by yourself up there.
You are truly not by yourself. And so there was a line of youngsters.
Yeah. Just taking notes, I guess.
That's, well, I mean, what a better man to take notes from than one Mr. Mike
Best
Lockhart.
School trip ever.
Exactly. I got to see a married couple do it.
Yeah, no, this is pre-marriage.
Oh, yeah, that's why. Yeah. That's why it was getting done in that fashion.
Yeah. There you go.
No kids. Yeah,
good for you, Mike. Well,
thank you.
Good for you.
It's a totally different life at that point.
Yeah.
Alex Cora after the game states what is in store for this Boston Red Sox team.
You know, we're going to be banging heads for the rest of the season, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing. You know, we had expectations coming into the season to make it to the playoffs, and you know, we will keep working for that.
Yes. Now, John, does this stretch concern you?
Yes. No, it does not. Of course not.
Well, not last night.
Oh, what?
The stretch coming up.
Does not worry me. Now, are the Red Sox a championship team? No, I don't think they are. But, you know, they've played so well against winning teams during this stretch whenever they've run into one. I'm not worried yet, put it that way. Although I will say this, the next two nights in Toronto, they're facing some good pitchers. Stripling, I believe, was an all-star in L.A. before kind of losing himself, but he's pitching well now, and they take on Manoah tomorrow night.
Cy Young candidate.
Yeah,
yeah. Manoah's a Cy Young candidate, threat fantasy to start for the American League in the all-star game.
Fantasy type. Baseball member of my team.
Yes. Yes. Alec Manoah, very good. He pitches tomorrow, so against the Red Sox.
Yeah, they need to take one.
I would agree. One of these next two. And my feeling is if you're going to get one, it hopefully will be tonight. Because you do not want to go into tomorrow with Toronto looking for a three-game sweep and that guy pitching.
Yeah, and then you get a nice rest there in Chicago. Is that why you're going up to Chicago, Dan? Is you going to see your Red Sox take on the Cubs?
My Red Sox, yes, on Friday. The day games are Friday and Sunday. I think Saturday is a night game. It's probably on Fox.
Yeah, so it is on Fox. What is the get-in price for the Cubs?
Oh, there's plenty of seats available. So the person that I am discussing this with said, if you wait, it's a 110 start. If you wait till 105, you will be A-okay.
Wait
to see the prices drop.
Wait until you see the amount of Red Sox fans that are there. And B, how loud they are. And it's going to be a bunch of people from Boston that have moved
to
Chicago.
So obnoxious, right?
Just, I hate it.
Cubs are really not good this year.
Yeah, but they took care of the Cardinals.
Almost makes me want to just get in and walk around, like not have to sit in a seat and listen to that for five innings.
Now, Wrigley is a superior
to Fenway?
To Fenway.
Yes.
Yes, it absolutely is. And it's in a similar area. But I've told you this, when I lived in Atlanta and the Red Sox and Cubs fans. Now, there were a lot of St. Louis fans at the game. At the games last weekend. But the thing is that relatively quiet, relatively well-behaved bunch.
Respectful. Yeah.
Why do you think Wrigley is so superior to Fenway? I've been to both, too. They're both in residential neighborhoods.
Oval.
Oh, I see. It's the seating. It's the way the seats face.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an oval. They dared to have the seats face the field.
Yes.
What kind of hot dogs do they have?
I'm just going to say, both are old and antiquated.
But they do have, what's the old style beer that they'll force on you and then pretend, and everyone pretends that they like old style beer.
I took my dad to Wrigley Field for his 60th birthday, and it was on Memorial Day weekend, and we were at Murphy's on a Sunday morning at 9:30 drinking beer, and it was old style beer.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, isn't this good? I was like, no, this beer really sucks.
No,
it's not good at all.
It's like if you go to Pittsburgh and they force Iron City on you. And you're like, no.
Yuengling in Philadelphia. Ooh, yep.
I hate Yuengling.
That's on tap at Citizens Bank. See, anywhere you go, any stand you go to at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, they got Yuengling on tap,
my wife, that's all they have.
Now, so old, is mine. So,
okay,
I mean, yeah.
Okay, so old style is like whatever. It's just like a Pilsner. It's like whatever. I mean, if you have 100 of them, you might get drunk. But the thing is, like, your stomach would burst first. But at least it's that Iron City is like a Pilsner. It's like whatever. Yuengling is that sweet brown. Oh, I cannot stand
remember
that.
When they made a big deal like it was coming to Boston. Yeah. It was like a huge ad campaign. Didn't really take off in this area.
No, it's Yuengling is Yuengling has got to be an acquired taste that you insist on. Because I know one guy from Philadelphia is that wherever we are, he asks for Yuengling. And it's and I'm just like, why? Why are you doing this to yourself?
You can still find it up here?
Sure, yeah, it's in the stores.
All right.
Yeah. All I know is we went to Newport. It was my wife's friend's husband, and we went to Newport, and he was getting Yuenglings all over the place.
Okay.
And I was just, it was disgusting to me. All right, so we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.